All rise. Court is in session. Call now, 215-263-1079. Court Radio 107.9 WRNB is on. Brought to you exclusively by the law offices of Silvers, Langsam, and Weitzman, better known as MyPhillyLawyer.com.
WRNB. Sometimes I get enamored with the intro music, and I just want Chris to go on and on and on. All right, good morning. I'm Dean Weitzman, better known as My Philly Lawyer, and you're listening to another episode of Court Radio, the place where we talk about legal issues that may affect you this week and answer all of your legal questions. Or at least we try to. And joined by David M. R. Rappoport. Good morning, David.
Good morning. I can barely hear you, though. My ears are still shaking from Jennifer Hudson.
Wow.
That was, yeah.
Oh my God. Woo. That was a very powerful pre-court radio music entree.
She almost was screaming at the end of that, I think. It was almost a scream.
Yeah.
Rather than a... I mean, it sounded good, but... wasn't a singing voice. It was almost a screaming voice.
As you would know.
Was she singing or being killed?
You know about screaming.
I do.
Well, you know, sometimes around the office, you're...
Raging Rappaport.
You're known as Raging Rappaport.
Thanks for that. I appreciate it.
Well, listen, when people get out of line, sometimes it takes the rager to bring everything back to order.
Every lawyer has some rage in them.
And, of course, also, you know, you're the drummer extraordinaire, so you would able to critique Ms. Hudson's singing.
Well, I don't know about that.
Right.
Drumming isn't singing, that's for sure. That's why I'm a drummer. If I could sing, I wouldn't have been a drummer.
Right. And if you could have done math, you wouldn't have been a lawyer.
That's right.
All right. Well, you know, we got the Phillies this week. And
the Phillies.
Yeah, well, I should say at least I should play the part of our valiant co-host who's yet to show up in the studio and say that if you have a legal question today, if you have a legal question, you should direct it to 215-236-1079. I think that's right. 215. Somebody right now at 236-1079 is getting a ton of calls. They want to go back to bed. Okay, well, then to call me in the studio and David, you need to call 215-263-1079. That's my dyslexia this morning. 263-1079. Yeah. And we'll answer your questions if you can make them, A, concise, and B, reduce them to a single question, because we don't take no double dip in here. So
there is one positive thing, and I hesitate to even say this because it's all mostly negative that Tiffany's not here yet. But the one positive is that we get to hear Mr. Grundy's voice.
Our special guest host.
Remember the last time?
Yeah. Yeah, well, Mr. Grundy still barely has a job as a result of that. Okay, go ahead.
Did he give the right number the first? You know,
he did not.
I'm a little dyslexic. Good morning.
Go for it.
Hey, but you're listening to Court Radio, brought to you by the law offices of Silvers, Langsam, and Weitzman, better known as MyPhillyLawyer.com. Tiffany, welcome.
And here she is.
All right, so, you know, David, the Phils,
yes,
they're in the World Series. I was at Game 5. The stadium went bonkers. I mean, it almost like I would imagine it went. You were there when they won the World Series last
year.
Yeah,
well, that was incredible. Yeah, that I don't know if it was the same bonkers that that you were. I think mine was more bonkers than that. When they
I don't know.
Series.
It was 46,000 people. Not a single soul left their seats.
Mm-hmm.
46,000 people simultaneously erupted.
Yeah, it was well.
The hairs on the back of your neck went up.
Let me ask you this, Dean. I noticed a little bit of grease on your clothes the next day. Were you trying to get up on a pole? after I know they greased the poles in Philadelphia.
Yes, they did.
You had some incriminating grease on your pants the next day.
No, that was from the hot dog or the cheesesteak I had at the, at the park.
The Schmitter.
Yeah, the Schmitter. But I'm far beyond trying to climb poles in Philadelphia.
I was going to say Dean on a pole.
I actually didn't hear of any major vandalism that happened.
Thank God. You know, we have to conduct ourselves with a level of dignity that becomes the city of brotherly love and sisterly love. Now that Tiffany's here.
Hi.
Okay. So, again, if you've got legal questions today, 215-263-1079 will get you into the studio and into the ear of Red Chris, who will decide if your question warrants an answer.
The arbiter of questions.
He's the gatekeeper.
And only one question per person. Remember, no double dipping. So again, the number is 215-263-1079. You're listening to Court Radio on 107.9 WRNB. Hi, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tiffany.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm dragging in the sand today.
Is there a particular reason?
Tired. I'm very, very tired.
What caused you to be tired, Tiffany?
Lots of work. The work doesn't stop. My students, I'm a teacher, and on Friday, my drama students are doing a haunted house, and that's their midterm grade. So I was doing some last-minute begging on Facebook to get the things that I could not afford to buy anymore so that they could have all the costumes they need and have everything that they need for their haunted house.
Mm-hmm. How many friends do you have on Facebook?
Couple thousand.
Wow.
Really? Wow. Oh my God.
How did I know that?
Wow.
How did I know that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she went begging and she was up all night begging. I mean,
I really was. There had to be a whole lot of people
who were responding to her begs.
Holy. You know, individual stuff. I didn't post it because I didn't do one mass post. I was like, okay, I know this person has stuff. Hi, can you help me out, please? Thank you. Okay, hi, could you help me out, please? Thank you. No, you can't. Okay, hi, could you help me out, please? Thank you. Okay, bye. So it's a lot. And then, you know, really I went to sleep at the computer, which was bad because I didn't rest very well. Sitting
forehead,
in the armchair, you know, kind of slumped over a little bit,
keyboard.
Hands on the keys, like, oh, I'm still typing. No, I'm not. I'm sleeping. Go.
But it's going to be a heck of a haunted house.
It will be. They're going to do a great job. They did a great job last year, and they're excited. You know, I'm just one of those drama teachers that's like, okay, why take a paper test for drama class? You should perform. So
this is
open to the community. They can come in. The little kids can get a good scare, and they get a good grade.
So. Where is that?
It's at Hope Charter School, 2116 East Haines Street, right in West Oak Lane. So it's behind the McDonald's that's behind Martin Luther King High School.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, very cool.
Who said Court Radio was commercial free?
Yeah, really. There you go.
It's a good community event. It's a community event, so it's a good thing.
Yeah. All right. Yankees are playing tonight.
Yankees.
Yay. We can find out who's going to play the Phils.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I loved Phils. Hopefully.
The anticipation is killing us.
It is. Well, I think we all want to annihilate the Yankees. So I think that's the general consensus is that let them win. So we
and I understand all seven games, if it goes that long, will be pitched by Cliff Lee.
Yeah, all seven. All seven. Right.
Wow. He's decided he can do all. He doesn't need rest.
They're going to stick his pitching arm in, you know, freezing cold water for 24 hours every day.
Yeah.
All right. So don't forget, if you have a legal question, please feel free to give us a call, 215-263-1079. Again, 215-263-1079. Have your legal questions answered right here and right now. Gentlemen, what is your... Oh, we have a call?
We have a call. And,
awesome.
And I'm taking this call first because it's actually our hot button topic. Ooh. Will from North Philly has a question. Hello, Will.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. How are you?
Fine. Good morning, gentlemen. Tiffany.
Hello.
It sounds like you're entitled to be tired this morning.
What is your question there, Will?
Mr. Weston, I filed Chapter 13 in 2000, and it's all been satisfied and everything, but I can't seem to get it off of my credit report. You know, I was unable to handle the property that I had at the time because of the problems and stuff that I was going through. But I'm still on my job, and and I'm actually making more now than I was then. And I just can't seem to get this off my credit report to purchase another property.
And when you say can't get this off, you're referring to the bankruptcy filing in 2000.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I think you are about, anywhere from a couple months to maybe up to a year before it comes off, because bankruptcy filings have been held on credit reports for 10 years. So you're right around the corner, Will, from having the stigma of bankruptcy removed. But I will say this, usually the impact a bankruptcy filing has on one's credit rating diminishes over time. So it should have, even though it's still there, it should have less effect today than it did 9 years ago by a long shot, but officially will come off after 10 years following the filing.
Now, what it is, I'm in the process, I'm in a position now to be able to buy another property, but I can't get a mortgage because it's on my property, on my credit report.
Yeah, well, if in the fact that is true, then it will come off 10 years after the filing. If you filed it in 2000, depending on when in 2000, we could only be a few months or at most a year away from it coming off, at which point it should no longer have any deleterious effect on your credit. So you may have to postpone the buying for a little bit longer. But I will say again, the problem is that in today's economy, today's environment,
it's a sign of the times.
It is, because a few years ago, a bankruptcy filing multiple years in the past, so long as you developed better credit in the interim, that would never have prevented you from getting a mortgage. Would you agree, David?
Absolutely. They wouldn't have cared one bit. They would have given you the mortgage, but no problem.
Nowadays, they're looking for reasons not to give you a mortgage, and that's as good as any, I suppose. But keep trying, and again, it's going to be off shortly. Again, if you filed it in early 2000, it could be off in a few months.
I remember exactly. It was in March of 2000.
All right. Well, then there you go. You got probably about another 6 months of of it being on your record, and then you won't be burdened by that anyway any longer. Thanks for calling, Will.
Do I have to file anything, or it'll just come off?
It should just come off after 10 years.
But if it doesn't, you can notify the one of the three credit agencies, and
like TransUnion or Equifax, you write to them and say, hey, it's been more than 10 years, take that off my record.
All right,
best of luck with it, and have a great Sunday. Thanks for being a listener.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so Will, and the reason I took Will was because today's hot button topic, we have not touched upon this since February, is wills and estates in Pennsylvania. And the reason I decided to talk about this again is because our friend Michael Jackson, or the deceased Michael Jackson, his estate, has come up in the news again this week. Mrs. Jackson, Mama Jackson, has given the axe to the two attorneys who were representing the estate. Why, you might ask?
I do.
She said they were not aggressive enough. I don't know if it was her or Joe Jackson, but one of them, one of the heads of estate, decided that these two attorneys weren't aggressive enough. And I started to think, and David and I were talking about this on the way over, I'm thinking, like, you know, they're under a microscope. They're saying that the two executors are not aggressively representing the estate, and that the attorneys who were representing Mr. and Mrs. Jackson weren't doing enough to force the executors to aggressively represent the estate.
Gotcha.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute, there's a judge in California who's overlooking this estate, and it's under a microscope. I mean, you know, what worries could they have that these two attorneys who are executors who were appointed by Michael in his will. See, he created a will and he appointed executors. Those are the people who are to enforce his wishes in the will and to gather up the assets and to pay back the creditors. And they do all the legwork. They're the executors. You know, what could they be doing wrong? Because they got a judge looking at them every few months, like, what are you doing? What do you got? And I'm saying, like, well, you know, what's the problem? And then it dawned on me. It's the universal problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's the universal problem. What's
cha-ching.
The... Yeah.
Cha-ching. Money, money, money.
Exactly.
We need to cue the OJ song, Ron.
Why? Why is money a problem? Well, here it is. As beneficiaries of an estate, we don't get paid first.
Mm.
We get paid last. Who gets paid first? Well, of course, the attorneys.
Oh, I was thinking creditors.
Nah.
Yeah, you're right. The attorneys.
Before the attorneys get paid, before the creditors get paid, the attorneys and executors get paid.
Yes.
The people who have to actually do the work of the estate work. Mm. Then the creditors, and last but not least, the beneficiaries.
Mm. So if there's anything left.
How does Mr. and Mrs. Jackson move from position three, a beneficiary, and we might add that this estate is in the red for about $400 million. So Michael, when he died, owed $400 million than he was worth, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
But now money's coming in, right? Because they're doing projects. I mean, what's coming up this week?
This is it, the documentary of his last concert, or his last planned concert opens in theaters on Wednesday.
Yes, yeah, so and that's going to make a bundle.
It really is. Plus, the double disc CD is going to be released at the same time. So,
and I think they're talking about, and they cut those deals. These two executors on behalf of the estate cut the deals that enabled the concert to occur. And I think they're talking about maybe $100 million it's going to bring in, which is, you know, that's a goodly amount of money.
Absolutely.
And it's just beginning. You know, I mean, some of these dead people's estates, like I don't know, Elvis Presley is comes to mind, or Marilyn Monroe. They produce money year in and year out forever. I mean, it just goes on. And so they're gonna get out of the red one day, right? One day they're gonna get out of the red.
It might be sooner than later, because a lot of commercials use his music, so that's royalties being paid to the estate.
Yeah, with Michael, it might be sooner than all the other ones, because he's got such a money-making potential.
Plus, he owns the back catalog for the Beatles. So every time the Beatles songs get played, he gets a little nickel, you know, falls his way, and that adds up.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, the estate will one day come out of the red. But the question is, how does Mr. and Mrs. Jackson, today, they would get nothing from the estate. How do they move from position three to position one, to the lawyer's positions? And that's really what this is all about. They claim they want a seat at the table so that they can, you know, monitor the estate. I say hogwash. If you're listening in California, I say hogwash. Yeah. Come on, tell the truth. You want some cash now. And if you become an executor of your son's estate, or some family member becomes an executor and has a, quote, seat at the table, then you begin charging fees as an executor immediately.
Mm.
And that can be 5 or 6 or 7% of the estate. 5, 6, 7% of $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of cha-ching, you know? So I don't mind, you know. Listen, maybe the family needs money and that's good for them. But I always hate when there's euphemism and there's kind of like, you know, there's this unspoken thing going on. So anyway, Mrs. Jackson, if you need money, just say it, and, you know, say, I want to move from position three to position one. And maybe the court will side with you. Maybe they'll say, you know what, maybe this is a way to give them the money they need to survive for the time being.
To be fair, I don't think it should be painted all that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, look, say what you will, but they are his parents, and maybe they also just want to have some control over their son's estate. Now, you may say that means they want money, and that's an obvious thing, but I think it also may be like, why are other people, lawyers and people who aren't related, have all the control, and we have no say? We're just sitting here as beneficiaries waiting for them to do things. We want to be involved in this process. So I think it might be a little bit of that, too.
I like that, David.
Do you like that?
Well, makes sense. You know, but the problem is conflict of interest, because
well, sure, sure.
She's a 40% beneficiary. And, oh, and by the way, so she hires this new attorney, Adam Streisand. I think maybe he's related to Barbara. maybe not.
How many Streisands are there?
There's just three. by the way, who's the attorney for the estate? Who's the attorney who's the lead counsel in California for the estate of Michael Jackson?
I don't even know.
I don't know.
I do.
Who?
Well, it's going to be this week's My Philly Lawyer Pack Question of the Week.
Ah, okay. Who can answer that question?
Google all right, it. if you think you know the answer, or if you can look it up really quick, you can get a Philly My Philly Lawyer Pack. A special prize pack will be coming to you. Just dial 215-263-1079. In the meantime, we do have someone on the phone with a question. Rhonda is calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio. Hey, Rhonda.
Isn't that a song? Hey,
help
Rhonda.
Me, Rhonda.
Help me, Rhonda. Help me, Rhonda.
Oh, there she is.
There she is. Hey,
well,
Rhonda.
I don't want to help today.
That's all right.
It's actually not a question. I just wanted to know if you had any advice for me. I was trying to buy a home, and I went through this program that they got, first-time homeowners, and it sounded like real cheesy. I don't know. I know they got a lot of programs going on with the, you know, they basically trying to give the houses away. But it's always just some kind of scam with them. So I wanted to know, like, do y'all have any advice?
Yes, my advice is
that I'm going to go through.
Yes, my advice is to get counsel in the form of an attorney or a trusted real estate agent that you know, and have them review documents that you're thinking of signing, because you're right. There are a lot of scams out there. Right now, though, there's a first-time home buyers, and first-time is defined as not having owned a home for the last 3 years. So you don't technically have to be a true first-time home buyer. But anyway, a first-time home buyer tax credit, you get $8,000 back from the federal government, but you got to complete the sale before, I think, December the 2nd or 3rd. So time is running out on that deal. But you're right. There's all kinds of other deals out there. Some of them too good to be true, Rhonda. All right. So, you know, spend a few dollars to protect yourself from long-term grief and misery. And if you're going to sign something, bring it into an attorney and have them review it, or a trusted real estate friend, agent who can also review the real estate documents.
Well, do y'all do real estate representation?
Of course. My Philly Lawyer does everything, Rhonda.
But I need to get down there then.
All right.
Yes, Miranda, make sure you do. First thing tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right, have a great day.
Y'all too.
All right. Remember, if you've been injured from an automobile accident, slip and fall, work-related mishap, or medical negligence, call the attorneys at Silvers, Langsman, Weitzman, better known as My Philly Lawyer. Don't you give it a second thought. Call for your free personal consultation. And remember, they don't get paid until you get paid. They have over 100 years of combined experience, so let them aggressively fight for you. Call them tomorrow morning at 215-227-2727. That's 215-227-2727. Call them tomorrow or visit their informative website at myphillylawyer.com. Can't wait till tomorrow. Give us a call right now. 215-263-1079. Daryl is calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I have a question.
All righty.
I have a arbitration hearing coming up with uninsured motorists. And I was just wanting to know, like basically, what can I expect with that arbitration hearing?
Are you represented by counsel, Daryl?
Yes.
Okay. And do you have uninsured motorist cover? Were you in a car at the time of the accident?
I was the passenger.
And does that car have uninsured motorist coverage, do you know?
Both cars that was involved, they had pulled off. I left with the ambulance, and then the ambulance that took me at the scene, the police never got a police report, and both cars were gone at that time.
Okay. Well, without being able to know the exact facts of your case, I'll tell you, generally speaking, if we're involved in an accident that involves an uninsured motorist, there's a couple of places that we turn as attorneys on behalf of our clients. Number one is if the at-fault car is uninsured, we look to the host vehicle or the vehicle you were a passenger in to see if they have a coverage called uninsured motorist. That's the coverage that we can purchase that will protect us, the owner of the car, and our passengers from from injuries caused by an uninsured motorist. We then go after our own insurance company, the insurance company that we purchased this uninsured motorist coverage, as if they were the insurance company for the at-fault driver, and they pay us. If we prove that we were injured in the accident by the negligence of an uninsured motorist, they pay us as if they were the at-fault party. Sometimes when there's not an agreement between the insurance company and your attorney will file a lawsuit against that insurance company and present his case in an arbitration amongst three other attorneys in Philadelphia who will make a decision to, one, whether you were injured in this accident involving an uninsured motorist, and two, how much the value of your injuries are worth, and they'll issue an award, which may be binding if nobody takes an appeal after 30 days. So that might be what's going on. You may be having a hearing coming up against the insurance company who insures the car you were in for uninsured motorist coverage. If no insurance, if neither car has insurance, there's still a possibility that you, as an innocent guest passenger, can get paid through some plan called the Pennsylvania Assigned Claims Plan, and that's a that's an organization funded by insurance companies, run by Pennsylvania, it's actually run by an insurance company, and they pay for injuries sustained by Pennsylvania residents in Pennsylvania accidents when there's no insurance at all to compensate you for your injuries. So, as I say to all my clients, always contact your attorney first and make sure that you run all the facts by them, because even though it may seem hopeless to you at the scene of the accident when you find out that nobody has insurance, there still may be an avenue to pursue. So before you give away your rights, know what they are. And thanks for calling Court Radio this morning, and have a great Sunday.
Thank you. You too.
Take care, Daryl.
We have Harry calling in from South Philadelphia with a question. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, guys?
Hi, Harry.
Hi.
Boy, y'all said that in unison.
All right. What's going on, Harry? What's your question?
Okay. I was listening, and I heard this guy talking about his credit.
Okay.
His credit, the credit report. How long does it take liens or judgments to go off your credit report, or do they ever go away?
Interesting question.
Well, I believe that, David...
I don't know if they ever go... there must be some time period that they do go away, but the thing with liens and judgments is, as long as you have... If you've paid off a judgment or a lien, you must get something that's called an order to satisfy, which is... the court will issue an order to satisfy the judgment if it's been paid. And usually in agreement for you paying the judgment, you get that from the entity that you pay. If you have that document, all you need to do, if anyone brings up your lien or judgment on the credit report, is to show them that you satisfied the judgment and give them an explanation as to why the judgment happened in the first place and that you've paid it off. And usually it doesn't really create that much of an issue. If you don't have that order to satisfy it, if it was never filed, that's where you have a problem, because then you have to go through all this explanation as to the fact that you did pay it off, even though it's still listed on your credit report as not being paid off, and all this other nonsense. So
I would also add to David's explanation one other thing, and that is that when a judgment or lien is entered, an attorney or party that holds that judgment or lien has to renew it every 5 years. If they do not renew it, it expires. Now, it won't come off your record after 5 years, because we go back to the rule where I said earlier that negative credit stays on your report now for up to 10 years. So I suppose that if a judgment is renewed every 5 years, it could stay on forever because it's sort of a new event as they renew it. However, if it's not been renewed, I would go back to my original thesis, and that is that it comes off after 10 years.
Okay, so it's been longer than 10 years. It's been like 1999.
Okay, so it's been 10 years. It has just been 10 years.
Right.
Okay, so the question is, was it ever renewed? And you know, you can look into that. But if it hasn't, then I would say you could request it be removed. If it does not come off, let's say, at the end of this year, then I would say you should send a letter to the credit reporting agencies and ask them to remove it from your credit as being stale or more than 10 years old.
You're telling me, basically, I have to go all the way back to Ohio? Those guys scare me.
No. You have to write to TransUnion, Equifax, one of the credit reporting agencies, once the debt is more than 10 years old, and if it continues not to come off, and ask them to remove it at that time.
Okay, thanks. I'll call you guys next Sunday. I have another question.
All right. Thanks a lot,
Harry.
You got
to wait till next Sunday.
Have a great day.
The truth is, though, Harry's gone now. I can say this. I was going to allow him to have a second question.
Oh, well, why are you saying it now that he's gone?
Well, you know, he jumped off so quick, and he'll probably try to call back, but I won't allow that. So don't try that, Harry.
That's too much.
The name Harry is, you know, he was, I had a friend growing up. My dear friend Harry lived across the street from me, so it has a warm spot in my
Harry
heart.
Harry Callis, you know, all the, yeah.
Yeah, there's Harry Callis. So
it's a good name.
Yeah, it is a good name, and so I would have given him a second bite at the apple as an exception, as the Harry exception.
Call back, Harry. I'll get you in.
Unbelievable. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Court Radio on Philadelphia's R&B station 107.9 WRNB. We have Henry calling in from Willingboro, New Jersey. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Henry, a derivative of Harry, so we'll treat you nicely. I have a lot of clients in Willingboro, so give it up. Henry, what's your question?
My question is this. My child is 15 years old. I did not know she was pregnant. She just had the baby. She's 16 now, 17th of 09. The father is 19 going on 20. What rights do I have against that? I just got a judgment that, through my ex-wife for more child support. Now, my question is, what can I do about the father that is 20 now?
Well,
he's not stepping up to the plate to pay anything. I'm really paying everything. Insurance through my job is paid.
Okay, here's the answer. First off, my disclaimer is that if this involves New Jersey, I assume, and I wouldn't want you to rely upon this, but I would assume that the laws would be similar. You have no obligation to your grandchild's support. The father does. However, you have no standing, which is a legal requirement to bring somebody to court. You have no standing to bring him into court to enforce or to attempt to get him to pay support for the grandchild. Only your daughter, the mother of the child, has that standing. And so she should be the one to bring that action against him. If she's getting any assistance, public assistance of any sort, the department in Philadelphia, Department of Public Welfare, has standing in lieu of the mother or parent, and they could bring an action in support against a putative father. And so the other issue, though, may be that she's a minor, but I don't believe in this instance that would prevent her from bringing an action in support of her child. But she may need that. She may need her parents to bring it in their name for her. That may be an issue that comes up. But again, without her cooperation, without her assistance, without her moving in that direction, you by yourself, I don't believe, would have the necessary standing to bring the action. So you need to get your daughter on the same page as you, Henry, and you need to bring her to court and get her to file papers to get your grandson some support. However, your support to your daughter should not be any more or less because she's had a child. And any you know, I think that kind of you implied that you were paying a little more because she's got a baby now. And I don't believe that that's I don't believe if that's true, I believe that's unfair and it should be adjusted downward. But I don't suspect that the court upped your support order merely because of her having had a baby.
Oh, okay.
All right, Henry, thank you for calling from Willingboro and have a great Sunday.
Thank you.
All right, so let's talk for a minute about one topic on wills and estates that always gets people.
What's that?
The spousal election.
Ah.
If you've been married for one day or 50 years, one day or 50 years, in Pennsylvania, your spouse is entitled to a third of your estate. There's not a darn thing you can do about it. Mm-hmm. You can disinherit children, but you cannot disinherit a spouse.
Now, is that including a divorced spouse?
No. Once they're divorced, they're no longer a spouse. Then they're the beloved ex-spouse.
Who's entitled to nothing.
Nothing.
In a will.
In a will. Well,
but in the divorce, they've already got.
They've already taken you for everything. But no, I'm talking about people who may have become separated from one another, but never formally got a divorce.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't there a the issue of abandonment, I guess, if you can prove abandonment.
Right. As a defense,
as
possibly.
Defense. Yeah,
but you're on the ropes at that point, right? I mean, you're now trying to prove that you were abandoned. But if there's an agreement between the two that you're just going to separate for a period of time and it's not truly an abandonment, you got to pay.
Yeah.
You got to pay.
They take a third. Yeah.
Take a third.
So how is it, you know, what's coming to mind is the movie, Why Do Fools Fall in Love, which is the Frankie Lyman story. And apparently he had three wives and didn't get divorced from any of them. And it was over a course of time that he was married to these three women. And of course, they all ended up in court to find out, you know, who would get the estate. So in a situation like that,
Well, there you're dealing with, the first issue you're dealing with is whether, I'm sure one of the issues was whether the marriages were legal.
Mm-hmm.
Like if there was the first marriage was definitely legal.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm sure the argument was that the other two, if they were different times afterwards, weren't legal marriages because he was already married. So then are they entitled to anything? Well, technically under the law, I would say no. But then let's say his will left them something. That is a big mess is what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting legal issues in that. That's like a law school question almost, right, Dean? I mean, you know, three wives, you can only have one, yet they are three, and he might have left wills.
The question that comes to my mind is why?
Why, right? What was he thinking?
That does, you know, I don't know if all of that was completely true. I believe it is, but
is
it's
that
based
why he
on
died,
his life. No, actually, it's not. But
I know. I'm kidding.
But yeah, that just made me think of that movie, like, okay, well, what happens there?
That's a big mess is what that is. But I think Dean's point is just, you know, the regular scenario of a marriage, if one of the spouses does a will that says, I don't want to leave my spouse anything, I leave it all to my kids or my friend, that you can't, the spouse can take against that will up to a third of the estate value. And then the beneficiaries that are named would get the rest.
And in Pennsylvania, you have 6 months, 6 months from the date of death to make your spousal election. So if your spouse disinherits you and it all goes to his children or to the Pennsylvania SBCA, you can jump in and say, no, I elect my spousal election and I want my one-third entitlement. And again, if you find out that that guy who you were married to 15 years ago just passed away, you may be entitled to your spousal election if there is an estate. So something to think about. Separated ladies and gentlemen out there. And it, of course, the same, we assume that we're talking about a woman making a claim against a man's estate, but the same is true. A man makes a claim against a woman's estate. And if gentlemen are out there and they were married and they never got divorced and their ex-wife, their separated wife passes away, they too can make that same election. If you have questions, give us a call in the studio, 215-263-1079, where we'll answer them for the next 22 minutes, and thereafter, you're on your own.
Until next week, right?
Until next
week.
Absolutely. So don't forget to call 215-263-1079. Also, if you ever have a question and you're unable to call us, you can always send an email, courtradio1079wrnb@gmail.com. So don't forget about that. You can send questions there.
Oh, Gmail.
That's neat. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Gmail questions.
Yeah. Now, one way to get around the spousal election issue, one way to prevent your spouse from taking one third of your estate, if that's not your intention, is to do a prenuptial agreement. Or postnuptial. Pre or postnuptial. If their spouse agrees, signs a contract, says, you know, I'm not taking that one third. It's for your kids. You know, you have kids from another marriage or another woman, and I agree that it's not for me. Then you sign an agreement, and before the death, just a small
technicality.
Small technicality, yes. Sign the agreement before the death and waive your right to take that spousal election, and problem solved. So if you're out there right now thinking, oh, no, pulling your hair out and saying, what do I do? What do I do? My spouse is going to get one-third of my estate, and I don't want that to happen. Then get to see an attorney and get an agreement signed before death, and that will solve that issue. See, for every problem, there is a solution.
Absolutely.
Amen.
All right, and we do have a few people calling in with a few questions. Again, if you have a legal question, now would be the time to give us a call, 215-263-1079. Let's hear from Wanda calling in from West Philly. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Hi, Wanda.
Hey, Dean. How are you?
Wonderful. What's your question, dear?
My question is, in the event that your husband dies, who is actually entitled to his Social Security? I know I am as his wife, but I tried to send my daughter to get it, and she said she couldn't, so I wanted to know what her rights were.
Well, typically, Social Security is, as a surviving spouse, your Social Security benefits will increase, but at the time that you would take Social Security. And the same for children, except if they're minors. So once a child no longer is a minor, they don't get any Social Security benefits from their deceased father's Social Security benefits any longer. And the same for a spouse. Once you become eligible or of the age to get Social Security, your Social Security as a surviving spouse may be higher because of the death. But you will not get Social Security now as long as you're not disabled and as long as you're not a minor, then there are no Social Security death benefits to be paid.
Okay, because someone said because she was in school, she was entitled to it. So I sent her down there and she said she couldn't get it.
Not as long as she's not a minor. Once they are over 18, no further benefits from the estate, from the Social Security coffers.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Wanda, and have a great day.
You too. See you, Dave.
Bye-bye.
All right. See you later.
Have a good one. We also have Victor on the line calling in from Sharon Hill, Pennsylvania. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I had a question. I had an accident on October 13th in Greensboro, North Carolina, and when I had an accident, my car got totaled. At the time of the accident, I never experienced any problem, but like 2 weeks ago, I started feeding out some pains in my back and everything. But
what was the date of the accident?
It was on the 13th of October.
Okay, I mean that's fairly normal to have soft tissue injuries. What happens at the time of the accident, there's a surge of adrenaline. You're very excited. You're worried. And what adrenaline does is it masks pain. Well, after time, and your muscles begin to tense up from the tearing that occurred and blood comes into the muscle tissue where it's been torn, you begin to experience pain, and that can happen days and sometimes weeks later, and it's not unusual at all. You can bring a claim now. It's not too late, and you should contact us tomorrow. We'll set you up for an appointment and bring you in, and we can discuss your case and what we can do to help you get the right medical treatment for the injuries that you sustained.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your help.
All right, Victor. Thank you.
And, Victor, you should call 215-227-2727. 227-2727. Yeah, it's easy to remember. 215-227-2727. We'll be sure to help you. Leave your name and number. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Once again, we have a few minutes left in the program. So if you want to get your question answered, please feel free to give us a call. 215-263-1079. Again, 215-263-1079. While you're sitting back, you might be wondering what you can do if you or someone close to you are involved in an automobile accident, slip and fall, personal injury, or medical malpractice. Contact the law offices of Silvers, Langsam & Weitzman, the home of My Philly Lawyer, with over 100 years of combined experience. They will aggressively fight for you. Call for your free personal consultation. And remember, they don't get paid until you get paid. For answers to those questions, simply call them tomorrow morning at 215-227-2727, 215-227-2727, or visit their website at myphillylawyer.com.
.com.
Yes.
Hey, Dean, so you talked about spouses. What happens if I have two brothers and my multi-zillionaire father passes away and only leaves everything to one of my brothers? Do me and my other brother have a right to try and get money?
No. Let me say it this way.
Okay.
You are permitted in Pennsylvania to disinherit a child. So if you've been a bad child, an evil child, your parent can say, I'm not giving you anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all fine and good. Now, I represented once an estate of a woman. I didn't represent the estate. I represented her children. Three children, all disinherited. Mm. Mom had a very quick disease before her death that took her life. It was brain cancer.
Oh, wow.
She was on intense medications. Yeah. She was, really very sick. And her brother, their uncle, at the last minute, with weeks left in her life, brings her to his house to live with him. And in that time, he brings her to his lawyer, creates a will, disinherits the three children, and all the money and all the property go to him. Now, she had been divorced from her husband for many, many years. Mm-hmm. So the husband wasn't going to get anything, the father of the three children. The three children came to me and said, what can you do for us, Mr. Weitzman? We've been disinherited, and Mom has an estate worth several hundred thousand dollars, and it's all going to our uncle. Well, we filed a lawsuit in the Orphans Court, which is the court that handles wills and estates in Montgomery County, and we retained an expert who was able to determine that under the medications and with the disease that Mom had, and at that time, there was no way possible that she was of sound mind when she created that instrument and signed it, and that it was the evil uncle's intentions to disinherit these three children. We had a one-week trial. We had several witnesses, and I'm happy to report that we won. And 100% of the money that evil uncle was going to get went to these three children. So, David, the answer to your question is, one is of sound mind, they certainly can disinherit a child. However, it is possible to undo an instrument, a will, if it's not been properly done, properly executed by somebody of sound mind. And if you suspect that there's a reason to believe that, you need to see an attorney, and maybe those other two brothers will get their fair share of the gazillions.
Yeah. That's in any circumstance, if it can be shown that the person who drafted the will was not of sound mind, then it could be possibly negated.
Yes. So, does that answer your question?
It does.
Okay, and you're only allowed one question, so no double dipping.
It was a loaded question. Wow. I was trying to.
Hey, on to an unrelated topic. I was reading yesterday about our friend Seth Williams' race, and he has an opponent, and the opponent spent $200,000 of his own money dumped into his campaign so that, right, you know, he can run for this job. And I got me thinking, like, what is it with politicians? Who, first of all, if you can't raise the money, if you can't convince, like, the people out there that you deserve to be in this position and give me some money so that I can run and get my message out, absolutely, doesn't that tell you already that you got a problem? I mean,
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. And then the question, I started to think about an analogy in my life. Like, can you imagine if I got an attorney came to me for a job interview, and during the interview, he said, "Mr. Weitzman, I want this job so badly that I'm going to pay you $75,000 for you to hire me for this $50,000 a year job." I mean, it doesn't happen except in politics. What's wrong with these people? Come on, go out and get your uncle and your aunt to give you some money. Stop giving yourself. We got these rich people who are taking their own money and putting it into. I mean,
it's a power thing. I told you, Mayor Bloomberg in New York, $56 million of his own money. How much do you think the governor of New York makes?
Governor, you mean the mayor?
I mean, I'm sorry, the mayor of New York. Yeah. How much? What does he make? Maybe 200,000 a year.
Maybe 200 grand.
He's putting 56 million of his own. You think he's got a little bit of an ego? Maybe a power trip going there.
What is it? What's going on? Why would people do that? I don't get it. Like, are you going to cut a book deal or something that's worth 56.5 million?
Possibly.
And the other thing is this, though. I just thought about this just when you were talking about it, Dean. Maybe that's part of the problem of our system. You think people who actually need to earn the $200,000 as mayor of New York would actually be more, enticed to work at the job and really do a good job? Whereas someone, and I'm not saying using Bloomberg as an analogy, I don't really know enough about him.
You're beating him down.
No, I don't know enough about him.
You should.
I don't know enough about him. But my point is, if you're worth that much money, do you really care about your $200,000 job? I mean, it's like you don't really need that job.
If you got $56 million, what do you care about?
And that's right. It's like, if you happen to get fired, does it really matter? I don't think
so. Yeah, no, I don't. So, I want people to cast some kind of questioning eye at a politician who puts a whole lot of his own money. Now, one could argue, hey, he really believes in what he's preaching.
Wants to help the community.
Yeah, yeah. I don't
believe it.
You
don't sound convinced.
Not for a second.
Well, you know what? We have that was the cat scratching.
Is that a cat?
Yes. Okay. We have Marvin on the line right now who may have the answer to the My Philly Lawyer question, which you asked a couple minutes ago. Marvin, good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
I almost forgot about that. You're going to get the My Philly Lawyer pack if you give it up right, Marvin.
Okay.
Go for it.
With extensive research, how about Thomas Smith Rowe Jr. Law Firm?
No.
Oh.
The answer is...
After all that work.
We
can't. I'm not giving the answer. I was going to say the answer is so obvious that even I was amazed at it.
Yes.
That guy might be... The lawyer might be a member of that firm. I don't know.
No,
Mesarov
Law Firm, he has something to do with something maybe involved in Michael Jackson, but he's not lead counsel for the two executors of the estate of Michael Jackson. But Marvin, I thank you for your efforts, and you go down in the annals of history for Court Radio as the first person who's lost the My Philly Lawyer. You might get a My Philly Lawyer pack just for being so famous, Marvin.
Okay, I agree with that.
Stand by. Hold on the line.
Yay, okay. Marvin.
All right, well.
What's the answer?
I can't. We still have 8 minutes. I'll give you the answer once we get into our closing music, if nobody else has come up with it.
Chris, did you just hang up on Marvin? Oh, you got his? Okay. You got his information, thankfully.
Yeah.
Okay.
Marvin is the first guy, the first man or woman in Court Radio history to lose a My Philly Lawyer question. And that just goes to show you that this must be a really good one, Marvin. It does not show that you have any, deficits.
So are you going to give the answer? Or are you going to wait?
I'm going to wait till the closing credits.
Maybe next week?
No. I'm going to give it today. Okay. But, the lines still have an opportunity to call in. Who's lead counsel for the Michael Jackson executors? If you got it, give us a call, and you will get this week's My Philly Lawyer. gift pack of the week. All right.
You'll get another one because Marvin's gonna...
Yeah, we might actually have to give two gift packs this week. Yeah.
Marvin should, yeah, definitely get one.
Okay.
What else you got, Dean?
Well, let's talk about wills and estates for a minute. What happens if you don't have a will in Pennsylvania? Mm. Does your property go to the estate? And that's called escheating. E-S-C-H-E-A-T. Mm. Escheat.
Escheat.
A legal term for meaning my dough is going to Harrisburg.
Wow.
How do we prevent that from happening? We have a will. But, well, does it always happen if we don't have a will?
No.
No. Mm. No. It goes to a long line of our relatives. If we have, first and foremost, it goes to our spouse. Mm. If we have a spouse, they get it first. And 100% so long as we don't have parents or children. However, if we have parents or children, first children, if we have a spouse and children, they split it. Mm-hmm. One half to the spouse, one half to the group of children, with $30,000 going first to the spouse. So if your estate is only worth 100, your spouse is going to get 30, and the other 70 will be split half to spouse and half to children. If you don't have children but you have a surviving parent, same deal. It's going to go half to the spouse and half to your mom or dad or whoever survives you. It's only if you don't have a spouse, children, parents, aunts, uncles, cousins, and on and on and on that it actually goes to the estate. To the state.
To the
to the Commonwealth.
The Commonwealth, yes.
Do we have a caller?
Yes, we have Virginia calling in from Camden with a question. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Yes, I'm calling from New Jersey. I would like to know, I am divorced from my husband. I remarried for 7 months. And my husband has no one but me. And even though we're divorced, he has no one else. And he has boarders living in his home. And I wanted to know if I am I allowed to get his belongings out? Not the house. I don't want the house. The house is no good to me. I want his belongings, and I want to know, can I get him? I'm the only one.
Are you talking about your current 7 month spouse?
No.
Or the ex-spouse?
My first husband.
No, I don't think you have any rights to the property of your ex-husband because you're no longer married to him. And that relationship, therefore, ended legally. And so if he's got some property that you want to help him get, he'll have to take the lead to get it. You won't be able to do that on his behalf. Now, of course, if he gives you the right to do that, if he permits you to enforce his rights, then you may be able to do that.
I just wanted his personal belongings. He has nothing else.
Yeah.
I'm allowed?
No. Nope. Nope. I'm coming down on the side of nope. N-O-P-E. Mm. Once you're divorced, you're divorced, and his property is his property, and you can't go get it. But I think your intentions are of the highest order, and I commend you for looking out for your ex-husband like that. But unfortunately, once you've gotten divorced, your ability to enforce his rights is gone along with the marriage.
Okay, thank you very much.
Virginia, have a great Sunday in Camden.
You do the same. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Camden, you know, you knew, well, we got the Christy Corzine race.
Oh, no, here we go.
No.
Did you hear about that new guy, Daggett? Now, now you got...
He's not new.
But... Yeah, he's not new. He's he's an independent. Ha, ha, ha. As if they could ever get elected in New Jersey. And so now we have to listen to three of them. I mean, Lord have mercy, please. End this race
soon come.
All right, well, do we have, I don't know, we're getting close to the
nobody has that
we
answer.
We only have about a minute 30 left in the program.
Will somebody win this week's My Philly Lawyer Pack and come up with the actual name of the lead counsel for the executors of Michael Jackson's estate?
I think you picked a stumper.
Yeah, someone's on the phone, though. We'll see right before.
Yeah.
This is our last chance.
But it's still pretty hard.
Yeah, it is. It's a pretty hard one. Producer says no, they're not calling with the, yes, they're calling.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Yes, maybe.
Could be.
We'll find out momentarily.
Oh,
we'll find out momentarily.
Philly Speaks.
All right.
Is coming up next.
Larea. Hi, good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. Thank you much. How are you?
I'm good.
Larea, do you have the answer to our question?
I think so.
Ooh. Give it up. Hurry up.
Adam Streisand.
No.
Oh, so darn.
Larea, so close. Adam Streisand is the new attorney on behalf of the family, the Jackson family. But the attorney, okay, here it is.
Here we go. Drum roll.
The attorney, lead counsel in Los Angeles County for the executors and the estate of Michael Jackson, is none other than Howard Weitzman.
Aha.
Howard
Weitzman.
Yeah.
Nobody could figure that one out.
My relative, my, you know.
No, he's not.
On the East Coast, you've got Dean Weitzman. And on the West Coast, you have Howard.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah. We got the country split up. Everything west of Mason-Dixon is Howard. Everything east is Dean. And so any legal needs you have on this side of the world, you need to call 215-227-2727. God bless and see you next Sunday.
All right. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive one. Much love to our producer, Red Chris, for always doing a great job. Stay close because Philly Speaks with E. Stephen Collins is next. Have a good one.
Goodbye.